takes two, baby. It takes two, baby. Me and you.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM.
And as we fade out on Pat Benatar, who's all fired up, I'm pretty fired up too, and it's Andrew Jobling on the High Performance Show. Welcome, everybody, to the High Performance Show on this Saturday, the 1st of August, and another month has bitten the dust. And I'm lucky enough to be sitting in the studio with Mark. You look like you've had a late night.
Yes, I'm a cricket aficionado, so it was a 3:30, 4 o'clock finish. And then an early morning phone call, which wasn't good timing. But it was lovely to hear the Rotary people back on air too and doing a wonderful Rotary program.
Absolutely. And, well, welcome back. If you're here again listening, we are on the High Performance Show. And, Mark, we talk about all things trying to help people get a bit more out of their life.
That's exactly right. I've learned plenty in the first couple of weeks.
Well, mate, that's good. Mm. And it's all about just trying to find the people out there that are interested in creating more in their life and helping them do that. So we've got a jam-packed show today. We've got some good music, as you've already heard. We've got some amazing guests, including, obviously, your good self, Mark. But we have a guest who I'm about to introduce, and this could take about 10 minutes to actually introduce.
That's a fair roll call.
I've just rolled out about 12 pages of achievements of this young gentleman. Sitting with us in the studio at the moment is Mr. Stephen White. Now, before we say hi to Stephen, I just want, and you've probably heard the name. It's a name, if you're anything, you know anything about motorsport, this is a name that you will know very well.
I was going to say, did he play Jesus in the original stage production of Jesus Christ Superstar?
Well, I don't know. Well, you could ask.
That was Trevor White.
Yeah. There's a lot of Whites out there. This is one of the elite Whites. Let me give you a little bit, Mark, about Stephen. He's had a pretty incredible career, which has seen him finish top four in every full championship competed in. This incredible feat has seen Stephen selected as one of Australia's top 100 drivers of all time.
All time.
All time. And that's pretty incredible effort. He finished runner-up at the Australian Formula Ford Championship. He has raced in UK, Europe, racing from British Formula Ford, Formula Renault, Formula Vauxhall Lotus, Formula 3, Formula Palmer Audi, and tested with leading teams in Formula 3000.
Vauxhalls.
Whoa. And which is actually the step before Formula 1.
I wouldn't get in a taxi with this man.
No, Stephen's actually just catching a cab as we speak. He's represented Australia twice in Nation Cups, which is now known as the A1GP. Ambassador for Australian Formula One Grand Prix from 1996 to 2000. Stephen's raced in V8 Supercar Series. He's raced in sports car, production car, Gold Class for Australia's fastest racing cars in Fujitsu V8 Supercars. Invited to appear in a pilot for Holden Golf Show. He's been involved in different sports of media, including several television appearances, promoting, endorsing his sponsors' products and or services. Listen, I could go on and on and on. He's actually worked alongside Nigel Mansell, Jim Russell in the UK, John Bow, who is a Melbourne-based champion. And, I mean, listen, if I go on any longer, the hour's going to be up, yep, and we're not going to have said anything. So I would like to welcome to the studio Mr. Stephen White. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Andrew. Hi, Mark. Great to be here.
He just he looks too young to have achieved all of that.
Isn't it incredible?
There's nothing else to talk about now.
He's a fresh-faced kid.
He is.
From are you originally from Melbourne, Stephen?
I am, out in the eastern suburbs of around Knox.
Oh, it's the southern eastern suburbs.
Southeastern suburbs. He's not from the dark side.
He's close to, very close to the southern area of Melbourne. So, mate, that's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
You've got to be pretty proud of yourself.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky my whole life to I've had a lot of support from family and friends. And people who, you know, believe dreams can come true. And I guess since I was a kid, all I ever wanted to do was hold a steering wheel in my hand and go as fast as I could. And used to start off with the Matchbox toy cars racing around the carpet at home.
How fast did you get them going?
Real fast. We had cars rolling over into the furniture.
Oh, mate.
Cars that crashed into one another and cars that set lap records. So as you could as a kid.
It's like it's like my footy, early footy career, kicking the balloon around.
Yep.
You know, it's the same thing, kicking
socks.
A pair of socks.
Yep. But Stephen, he's clearly too young to remember Scale Electric's slot cars.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think
he's as young as he looks, mate. Yeah. I think he's just obviously on a very good skincare regime.
Skip the slot cars straight into the Matchbox cars.
Exactly. Now, so what I want to do today is try and get in your head, if that's okay. Because you're here for a reason, not just to bloody blow your trumpet, mate, which we could be blowing for days and days, but really is to help the people listening to, you know, take some of the things that you've done in your life and maybe help them apply it into their own lives. Okay, so are you okay with that? Mark and I are going to try and get inside your head.
Good luck.
Really?
Would this be like being John Malkovich?
It would be like being John Malkovich. No, actually, no, it won't be.
It kind of looks like John Malkovich.
Far
That's
better.
Harsh.
It is harsh. And, I mean, you know, we've said already, Mark, that you and I have got a great head for radio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Stephen is actually a very good-looking man.
He is.
And I'm sure his gorgeous girlfriend, Roz, is listening. And so, hi, Roz.
You don't want to be his girlfriend for too much longer, Roz. You might want to convert that because he's got that cheeky little grin that the girls like.
Yeah. We better leave that one right alone. Okay, so, mate, here's the first question. How'd you get started in motorsport? What was it that inspired you to want to drive really fast?
I think it came more from my dad more than anything else. And as a young baby, being dragged along to the races with my mum. And at the time, Dad was racing dune buggies off in the bush. And so, basically, from the point of being able to crawl, I grew up with the fumes and the petrol head that a lot of people have today. So, I guess I got to be up close to the action and was able to touch the cars and meet the drivers. And so, I guess it was just a natural progression, really, to want to follow in Dad's footsteps.
Mm.
So, if Mum and Dad had been into tennis, you might have headed down that path.
Well, funny you say that. I actually did play a bit of tennis, and I was very lucky as I grew up. I actually had to make a decision at a point of my life when I was about 12 that I was chosen to take part in the McDonald's squad for tennis, and I had to make a decision whether to go motor racing or play tennis. And
and you picked a man sport.
Well, I picked a man sport.
You made the right choice. I mean, what's going on with tennis? I mean, how long can you sit there and just watch a ball go back and forth, mate? I'd much rather watch a car go really, really fast. Anyway, so, mate, tell me, what is it about the sport that you love? What is it that gives you that buzz, that passion for it?
I think it's the point of having control but not having control of the vehicle that you're driving. And when you're out there with a group of, you know, let's say 36 other drivers who are just as eager to want to win a race, and you're driving around this circuit that has concrete barrage right on the edge, and so if you make a mistake, you hit the wall, and you know, dicing and psychologically outdoing the other component to beat them. There's lots of scenarios that go through to you know, to be a great driver, and so I guess just the thrill to the point of being able to drive this machine to the limit, to the point where no one else can physically drive it as fast as you.
Have you ever? No, and be honest, have you ever tried to run anyone off the road?
What's the kind of question?
On the normal road?
No, on the racetrack. I was just thinking when you see, you know, trying to outwit your opponent, just a little.
There's not much room for manoeuvring.
There's like, not.
You've got to take your bites when you can.
I don't think Stephen would do anything like that. He's not that sort of devious mind like I have, but.
No, well, for those people that do know me, they call me Uncle Grandpa. When it comes to driving on the road,
true, Mark. He drove me here today, and I'm thinking, mate, we've got to be there.
We've got to be
1 o'clock. We're in this amazing Mercedes, what beautiful car, and it was going like 12 kilometres an hour.
You know why? Because he knows how serious a matter driving is.
And that is true. That is very true. So,
well, we saw how serious it was just this week, really, didn't we, with Felipe Massa's accident. It's a terrifying sport. Any motor racing is terrifying to me.
And yeah, it is, and it would give you an enormous amount of, I guess, perspective on just driving on the road, and how few people really have any skills to handle. Well, we're talking about, I mean, if you're going to drive A to B and there's no other traffic on the road and there's no other issues, then it's pretty easy, but there's so many unpredictable things that can happen. So being a race car driver would give you a lot of, obviously, give you a lot of more awareness.
Yeah, well, you learn a lot of skills, and like anything, you know, to drive a car well, whether it's on the racetrack or on the road, vision would be number one in terms of sharing tips for anybody, because anything you take in, anything you process will come from vision. And so in terms of, you know, helping people with the driving or helping people on the racetrack, looking as far as you can up the road and process that information as early as you can, so you're being proactive. And whereas most people will just watch the road in front of them or watch the racetrack in front of them and wonder why they get caught up in situations, and sometimes there's a bit of confusion, sometimes there's some aggravation, and sometimes there's a bit of touching and rubbing of guards out there as well.
Stop it. You're getting me excited.
But from a psychological perspective as well, it's a bit like being an opening batsman at Test cricket. It's all split-second decisions all the time, isn't it?
It is, and it's really only been the last maybe 5 to 10 years that racing car drivers have been taken seriously. And it really is an athlete sport, and there's lots of different avenues that in terms of what a driver has to deal with. And I guess, you know, when you're dealing with a temperature in the car of up to 50 degrees, like, you might as well go to the gym and go straight to the sauna to do a workout. Not many people do that. And I guess when it comes to physically driving a car, because all of us drive at some stage of our life to go to work or to go on holiday or whatever, when you watch the in-car footage of race car drivers, it looks no different to yourself driving a car. So you kind of wonder to yourself, why do these guys have to be fit?
How can it be that hard?
Yeah, exactly. And so there's lots of different avenues, and heat definitely is one of them.
Well, we will, I do want to talk to you, because there are a lot of challenges, not just as a driver yourself, but challenges in being successful in this sport. There's a lot of obstacles, and we're going to talk about those after we're going to have a bit of a song, a little bit of U2 here, Beautiful Day, and a couple of messages, and then we will be back with more with Stephen White.
Heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
Every day, as a Vinnie's volunteer, we help many people who are trapped by their circumstances.
Facing a future with little choice or hope,
they fear they have nowhere to turn.
Every day, over 5,000 Australians turn to Vinnie's for help.
Vinnie's Winter Appeal brings much-needed warmth into many lives, adding comfort and hope. Please donate online at vinnies.org.au or call 13 18 12. That's 13 18 12.
Hi, I'm Diane from Holistic Fusion Alternative Health Therapies in Bentley East. I offer Harmony at Heart therapies that enhance your well-being and assist in alleviating your day-to-day pressures. For more information, go to holisticfusion.com.au or telephone 9579 3674. Holistic Fusion is a proud sponsor of Southern FM.
And on your left, you'll see the Big Banana.
Make your next road trip unforgettable. The Cunnamulla Outback Masters Games. 27th of April to the 10th of May. There's the Cunnamulla Bike Ride. A spectacular recreational ride over 3.5 days. Plus golf, touch football, polo cross, kayaking, adventure race, darts, swimming, triathlon, clay target shooting, athletics and fun ball games. A road trip with a difference. Check CunnamullaMasters.com.au. Sponsoring Southern FM.
This is the Sounds of the Bayside, 88.3 Southern FM.
Yes, it is, and it is 20 past 1 on Southern FM, 88.3, and I am coming at you live from Balcombe Road, Mentone, with some very handsome men in the studio. Oh, they're on their way, and Mark and Stephen are here.
Yeah, it's a cruddy day outside too. You should be inside listening to the High Performance Show.
Exactly. Mm. This is where it's all happening on the High Performance Show. Now, we've got Stephen White in the studio, which is very exciting. He is a very, very professional and successful fast-driving motorsportsman and has had a lot of success in V8 and Formula stuff. And, you know, I don't really know a lot about it other than... Stephen did take me for a drive around Calder Park Raceway. That was an experience, probably more for you than for me. Stephen used to go really fast, and I get in the car thinking I'm a real big he-man, and I went about 60 k's an hour because I was too scared.
And then when you popped into the passenger seat, had to take a spare change of clothes?
Steve took me for a couple of laps at... how fast were we going then, mate?
We reached speeds of 200 k at quarter, and you got to give yourself more credit, mate, because you did reach like...
I got up to 70.
140, 150
k. Oh, there you go.
See?
That's not bad. Not bad, I'd normally do that down Nepean High in the Subi. But there's not those sharp hairpin corners. I tell you what, Mark, it was pretty hairy. Anyway, enough about me. One of the things that we do talk about a lot is how you overcome, you know, like successful people that achieve anything in life never just have a rosy walk to the success. You know, it's never just a path that's clear. There's always obstacles And I think in motorsport particularly, there's an incredible amount of obstacles that you have to face. I mean, in terms of, you know, maybe negativity of people think, well, why are you doing that? It's a dumb thing to do. And then, you know, the amount of money that you need to get your car on a racetrack and, you know, there's a lot of obstacles.
Finance and opportunity is another one. I mean, just getting a break of getting on board with a team or whatever.
Absolutely. So... Mate, you've had some obstacles, I know you have, and you just keep going. What is it? Tell us about some of the obstacles and tell us about some of the things. What keeps you going to be the best you can be? Big question, that one.
Mm. Oh, where do I start? I guess in terms of, I guess, being able to live dreams, for a lot of kids that have interest in cars... you know, driving a race car around a circuit and getting paid for it is something that very few people get to do. So to all of a sudden be in a position of being able to achieve that opportunity is a big achievement within itself. So I think in terms of discipline, I've given up my life in terms of social side of things. I didn't go to any dead balls. I didn't go to any parties when I was a kid.
I didn't go to any dead balls either. I never got invited.
Mate, look, we don't want to hear your sad story.
So, in terms for me, my weekends were consumed with racing go-karts. And, like, I got to a point where I got up to 45 weekends a year racing. So, when you take out a couple of weeks for Christmas... All of a sudden, it doesn't leave a lot of time for a kid to live as a kid does and muck around with his mates on weekends. And I guess in terms of where I start off at the grassroots, and I did reasonably well. I was lucky in terms of my dad to give me some great tips. I had some, I guess, a small amount of natural ability. And with more and more practice and more races that you do, you start to get better. And then when it came towards the end of... my go-karting career when I was around the age of 15. I'd won races, I'd won championship and series, and I've gone, you know what, I said to Dad, I'd love to continue on with this. And I said, look, it'd be great. I don't know how we get there. This Formula One thing is the pinnacle of motorsport. Dad, can we just race Formula One? And
sounds simple enough.
Sounds simple as a kid. And Dad goes, well, there's a little bit more to it than that. Let's look at the next step after go-karting, and that's racing in Formula Ford. And so we spoke to people that we knew in terms of being able to make that possible, and it all started from there.
So you've had a lot of encouragement from your family, from your parents.
I have.
Which is, I mean, a lot of people don't get that.
Oh, that's so valuable.
So that is such a good starting point, isn't it? Like, a lot of people, you know, their parents, you know, I'm very fortunate to have parents that encouraged and tried to lift me to another level, and I know that's an enormous part of my success. But then there are, you know, you also have your naysayers, and I'm sure you've had some. And what are some of the challenges you've had to face in your rise to the top?
I think to a degree too, I mean, people just want to protect you and keep you within the safety zone. They don't want you to, leap out of the circle, so to speak, of life and live life on the edge.
Yeah.
Because it's safer to be inside the circle and not take any risks in life. And so I guess I've just got a large passion to be able to be the best person I can, and to get the most out of life. I'm a very determined person by nature. I'm a perfectionist, and so motorsport to me is something that probably comes more natural just simply because of my personality. And I'm a person that doesn't like to be beaten and will continue to work until I achieve the goals that I set out to
do. So what happens when, you know, because, I mean, there are enormous obstacles to being a successful race car driver, you know, like, and the biggest one is money. Like, you've got to get people to give you money, right?
This is correct.
How many rejections have you had in the process of trying to get sponsorships, get your car on the road? Like, how many times do you reckon you've rang people and spoken to people and they've said, no, mate, you can take that idea and stick it?
I would hate to think of if I wrote down a list of every single phone call that I had with people, but it's like anything in terms of, like, Colonel Sanders with the Kentucky Fried Chicken story, you know, with the thousands of phone calls that he made and meetings that he did to get people to, you know, produce his recipe. And eventually someone took it, and the rest is history. And it's no different whether it's Kentucky Fried Chicken, race car driver, being an electrician or a plumber. If you're striving to be the best person you can for yourself, there's obviously going to be people out there to knock you down on the way up.
Absolutely. And don't try and race a chicken around a racetrack. That's the only point I'd throw in there. Probably the difference between Kentucky Fried and race car driving.
We touched on the benefit there of having your father, who was involved in the industry, and the guidance that he was able to proffer forth for you. Did you find that extremely valuable, and the fact that he was probably able to give you a realistic view of the path that you were going to have to follow?
Yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, you've got a lot of people out there that, I guess, may not have the opportunities that you have as a family to be able to do things that you love. And
together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are a lot of families out there that don't have that opportunity. So for me to, you know, go to a racetrack with my dad, and we used to walk every single racetrack that we went to, and Dad was
not
saying,
all the cars were driving, I hope.
No.
Lucky.
And you don't do that in silence. like walking a track takes a bit of time, and you're not going to do it in silence. You're going to be talking the whole time.
Absolutely. So, you know, Dad would say, you know, this is about where you're going to be looking to break in, and this is where you want to turn in, and there's a patch of concrete here, so you've got to be careful because the grip level might be different. And we'll have a look at the ripple strip, and some are more aggressive than others. So when, you know, you've got a ripple strip that's fairly smooth, it's something that you could ride straight over. And if you've got a rough ripple strip, it might be something that you want to keep away from. And so we would, do this at every single circuit that we went to. And, that took, you know, anything up to an hour to 2 hours to actually to proceed and yeah. go all the way around.
Which in another walk of life we'd call quality time.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is quality time. That is very true. Now, what we're going to do is every week, and because Stephen's in, and this is quite apt for today, our top five, the top five ways to achieve things that most people won't, because most people will not be successful race car driver. They just won't. That's just the reality. Most people won't ever do a lot of things. But for those of you listening, if you're listening and you would like to achieve more, here are five things, and I'm sure Stephen will comment as we go through. The first thing to first step in achieving things that most people won't is make a decision that you will. You know, and I'm sure if you were to speak to Stephen as we are now, he'd say the reason why he, the number one reason why he's successful, because he decided to be.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in terms of any opportunity in life to do anything, racing was a soft spot for me. It was something that I was very fond of, and seeing my dad and growing up in the sport, that was something that meant a lot to me.
That's right. So there was a lot of emotion and passion involved, which is step number two, is get passionate and get emotionally connected to the outcome. So you obviously did that, you know, with your dad's involvement and help and support, and the fact that you love what you did, it was a real passion. You know, and passion is one of those real driving things that will get you excited about doing the things that you need to do on a daily basis, which leads to number three, and that's make the right daily choices, because it's easy to have an intention to be a good race car driver, but then you need to do things every day to move yourself towards it. You know, decisions, like you said, you sacrificed things along the way, you think walking the track, that sort of stuff. You know, I'm sure you know, a lot of things you did on a daily basis that you had to do, simple things, but over time got you to where you wanted, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Number four is don't listen to people that discourage and try to drag you down. Now, that's a big one, you know, and again, we've all had in our pursuit of being successful, plenty of people try to drag us down. Number five is just finish what you start and keep going till you get successful. So they're my 5 points for achieving things that most people won't. So what we're going to do is our competition today, before we go to a song, what I would like or ask you to do is SMS or give us a call about your most proud achievement, okay? Just SMS or call and tell us what your most proud achievement is, and you can SMS to 0414 973315. That's 0414 973315, or you can call us at the studio on 9583 0533. That's 9583 0533, and as always there will be a prize, and Stephen will choose the winning entry, I guess you'd call it, by the end of the show. So as you're thinking about that and sending all those SMSs and phone calls, we will be going to a song. This is Miley Cyrus with The Climb.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying, gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain, I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle, sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. It ain't about how fast I get there, ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. The struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes might knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most, yeah. Just gotta keep going, and I gotta be strong. We'll be right back.
Did you know that now there's a website especially for the over 50s community? Introducing aboutmyage.com, a safe and easy to use place for us to meet and interact with like-minded people. Visit aboutmyage.com and find new friends, have your say and view the extensive list of things to do. aboutmyage.com, the online community for over 50s. Visit aboutmyage.com today. Membership is free. aboutmyage.com.
Sponsoring Southern FM.
Everybody Australia ignites somebody. With Helmut Lotti's 2009 national tour. Don't miss the smooth vocal talent of this international sensation and his Philharmonia Orchestra in this not-to-be-missed event. Helmut Lotti plays the Palais Theatre St Kilda, Friday 2nd of October. Tickets through Ticketmaster on 136 100 or book online at ticketmaster.com.au. Sponsoring Southern FM.
Reaching into your community. The great Southern Sounds of Melbourne, 88.3 Southern FM.
And we are on Southern FM. You wouldn't believe it. We are, actually. And it's a beautiful... No, it's not beautiful. It's bloody cold.
There's a little bit of rain out there.
That's good. We need rain.
Yep.
We do need a little bit of rain.
No, we got a hat full of it on Thursday.
Every little drop counts. Because what are the water levels at the moment? Something like
26%.
27%. So I hope you're all... everyone's out there purifying the water that they drink, because you never know what little nasties might be floating around in
our
water.
Our water's going around about as well as Mitch Johnson at the moment.
You've always got that analogy, Mark.
Yep.
It's great having
you.
Now,
I turn everything on to sport.
You do, you do. Well, we are sitting in the studio with Stephen White, who is a very successful motorsport race car driver, and we've just been chatting about a whole range of stuff, but we just before the break, we were talking about the things that you need to do, and we were discussing over the break, you know, achieving success is actually, once you've made, because most people decide to do something, most people, you know, and maybe have a passion, but as Mark was saying, but what they don't tend to do is just invest enough time on a consistent basis to actually get the result, because often the result doesn't happen straight away, does it, mate?
No, it takes there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, and so... As we talked about before, you know, having, you know, the support from your parents and having someone there that you can talk to and ask questions to. In terms of fitness, you know, you've got to devote time to expanding and lifting your level of fitness, because when you get to a point where you reach, you know, V8 supercars and you get towards getting closer to being a Formula One driver or NASCARs, whatever, it's quite physical and taxing on the body. You need support in terms of, believe it or not, psychologists to help
absolutely.
Keep you mentally strong. You need nutritionists. The hype of my career, when I was within 12 months of breaking into Formula One, I had a photographer, I had a TV person, because lots of drivers, obviously, you know, if you're lucky enough to make it, we'll do a TV series or we'll look back at your career. So I had a TV people follow my life. I had a manager in Australia, a manager in the UK. I had my father. I had some business mentors. I had some business investors. So before you know it, like, I had a team of around 12 people.
Mm.
And it's people just don't realise the work that's involved to help get you to where you want to go.
Yeah. And it really is a true testament that it is about a team and having a good group of people around you. You're in the car on your own, but you can't get in the car and be successful on your own. We all need, irrespective of what we're trying to achieve, we all need support and help from people. So you need to put together a good team of people.
There's a million peripheral things that have to be done, and you can't do everything. And life is about allocation. And
absolutely. So if we're going to bring this back to, you know, because, you know, this is... The whole idea of you being here, Stephen, is to help people that are listening. So, I mean, not everyone wants to be a race car driver. So, I mean, if you're going to give people advice to, you know, even they might just have a goal of just having, you know, being a bit fitter or healthier or being a bit better as a boss or whatever, or just, you know, what advice would you give those people, you know, based on what you've had to go through to be what you... But bring it back to a basic level. How could you give some advice to people listening?
That's a great question, Andrew. And I think it doesn't really matter in terms of whether you're a race car driver or you own your own business or you're an employee or whoever you are in life. I think the skills in terms of success, they're all the same that you're going to use. And I believe for me, from personal experience, is you've got to have that dream.
Yep.
And, you know, there's no point working towards a goal unless you have that dream. And I guess, you know, having a photo of it up on your wall at home and being able to look at it every day and imagine that you're in there, you know, for me, it's obviously racing. Like, to see myself in that race car, you know, it brings emotions out.
Yeah,
and absolutely. So for you, if it's a holiday, if it's a new career path that you want to take, whatever it is, I think you've got to have that emotional attachment and
totally.
And really, you know, put it out there.
Yep, that's great. That's great advice. And we asked people before the break that wanted to send us an SMS or give us a phone call about something that they've achieved. So that, again, they'll give you the numbers. 0414 973315 is the number to SMS. Just something you've achieved. We're going to give away a copy of my book, Eat Chocolate, Drink Alcohol and Be Lean and Healthy. Or you can call on 9583 0533. Now, Stephen, your focus at the moment is V8 supercar. Is that right? That's where you're looking to you know, make your next mark?
Debut, yes. I have a business mentor, so to speak, and at the moment we're reassessing my future with where I want to be and where I see myself going for the next 5 to 10 years. And with having a brief stint in V8 supercars with the Holden Racing Team as one of the original Holden Young Lions, and then later on I drove for Ultratune and for a couple of privateer teams. V8 supercars is the pinnacle of motorsport in Australia, and now that I'm back here on more of a permanent basis, it's something that I'd like to get back into. It has some great challenges, and it's really, you know, the racing is as best it's ever been. So yeah, that's what we're aiming to do, and a lot of work's going on behind the scenes at the moment to make that happen.
And this is, again, you know, for people listening, it's an incredible story of persistence. And I take my hat off. I take my headphones off to you, Steve, because he has been really successful, and has just come back from overseas. And now, at the age of 30 plus. No, he's 35. He looks 30, but you know, you're coming back trying to build your career again and get to a high level. And like people are saying, like probably with good reason, saying, "Mate, aren't you a bit old? You know, do you think, you know, you've already done a lot of stuff, you're a bit old, why, you know, so why, mate, why do you keep going?"
I think because of the success that I've been able to create in the past, I believe that's still possible again to create for the future. And when you believe in yourself and you believe you deserve, I don't know if a second chance is the right word to use, but I guess life for me has been a massive roller coaster ride. Like, I've been able to live the high life at some stages in my career, and I've also been, I guess, searching for money just to live day to day.
Had to eat hash browns for a week.
Hash browns from McDonald's over in Europe. So
nothing wrong with a good hash brown.
I guess, you know, coming back to Australia and making a commitment here, you know, there's lots of young drivers coming through the ranks who are able to get chosen by the V8 supercar teams, and then you've got your drivers who have been in there for some time. So someone for me who is sort of in the middle of all this, it's quite challenging in terms of discussing with teams why they should take someone like myself on. And, you know, for me, I think I've got the best of both worlds. I'm not over the hill yet, and I'm not a young, inexperienced kid. So I've got runs on the board. I've still got a few years left. And so there's some of the, I guess, party of tricks that I have I'm pulling out of my hat.
Yep.
That when I taught the teams. And so, you know, that's what we're pushing for.
And you've got a lot to offer in a lot of sense, because there's nothing nothing substitutes life experience and experience and that comes through being around and, you know, going through the ups and the downs and the good times and the bad times. And there are some pretty, some high, really high highs, and I would imagine some pretty devastating lows as well. And to be able to get yourself up and dust yourself off and keep going.
And what Stephen says is right, that there's no substitute for experience. And as long as you've still got that edge, which you clearly have, then the experience, the age can be an absolute benefit. And I think even, and I hate to equate this into this story when you're actually here as a special guest, but it's a willingness to actually keep knocking your head against the brick wall. And we've seen, again, in the last month, Mark Webber, he finally cut it. And, like, he's been having a crack for a long time, and he's had his knockers and all those sorts of things. You keep, if you're willing and you've got the edge and you've got the drive, you know, you've got to keep having a crack.
Absolutely. And I've been very lucky in that sense. Like, I went overseas before Mark did. Mark was a couple of years behind my time, so to speak, in terms of I've never had a chance to actually race against him. But when he moved overseas and started his career in Formula Ford, in the British Formula Ford Championship in 1996, I was racing in the British Formula Renault Championship. And he came over and introduced himself, and we became mates. And as you do, when you're racing overseas, there's not many other Australian race car drivers over there competing, so you support one another. And, and so that's what we did. And I can remember being interviewed by a motor magazine back here in Australia, and there was James Courtney, Marcus Ambrose, Mark Webber, and myself sitting down at an English pub, having lunch, and the reporter said, "So, who's going to be the first one out of all of you to make it to F1? And we all looked at one another thinking, how are we going to answer this question?
Yeah, without.
and then Mark came up with, I think, the most perfect answer, and he says, "Look, I don't think it really matters in terms of who's going to get there first. It's a matter of, you know, hopefully it's going to be one of us sitting at a table right here, right now." And so I think, you know, being able to get into Mark Webber's head a little bit and get to know him a little bit, like, you know, I've got drive, but Mark has obviously had more drive than what I've had, because to overcome the hurdles and be able to get into Formula One, you know, it's not easy. And then once you get in there, you've got to sustain yourself to be a driver, which he's been able to do. And then, you know, a lot of pressure's been on him in terms of producing results, which he hasn't been able to do until now. And eventually, you know, he finally had his first win at the German Grand Prix Nürburgring, and all of a sudden life will now expand for him again, and he'll take himself to another level. And good luck to him.
And good luck to him. But, you know, you shouldn't play yourself down either, because, do you know, I have more admiration for the person that, you know, yeah, Mark Webber's made it to Formula One and he's now, but, you know, it's the people that are struggling maybe at a lower level but keep going. I have more admiration for those people than the ones that will make it to Formula One and then maybe struggle, because it's a lot easier to, you would agree with this, a lot easier to struggle at Formula One level than it is at any lower level. Like, at least you can say you're racing Formula One cars and the money's there and the sponsorship's there, you know. So, you know, your persistence and dedication and determination, I know you will succeed. And, you know, Stephen has come back from overseas. He was in the US, that right, last year for last year. 12 months, and has now come back and committed to be in Australia, because this is obviously where he's from. So and now, you know, sponsorship obviously is, I guess, the critical factor to get you back racing where you need to be. So, you know, if there is anyone out there listening that is interested in getting involved with V8 Supercar and being part of Stephen's team, then again, I would really strongly recommend that you get in contact with Stephen. You can do that obviously through Southern FM, or through myself, or through my website, which is andrewjobling.com.au. But this is for my wife, who chose this next song. You know, I've got to get her involved. So, Laura, I know you're listening, and thank you very much.
In the bath?
No, I don't think she's in the bath today. So here's Kylie Minogue, "I Believe in You."
Thank you. at your face. The joker's always smiling in every hand that's down. I don't believe that when you die, your presence isn't found. But I
learnt about healthy eating at school and how when shopping you should fill up your shopping trolley with rice, pasta, noodles, bread, cereals, legumes and fruit and vegetables. Mum also told me about the Heart Foundation's Tick program. Now when I go shopping with Mum, we look for healthy food with the tick and try to make healthy choices with everything else that goes in our shopping basket.
For more than 13 years, the Tick program has been helping people to make healthier food choices quickly and easily, and encouraging manufacturers to produce healthier products for the supermarket shelves. In general, approved foods are lower in saturated fat, sodium, and where appropriate, kilojoules, and sometimes higher in fibre too. Companies who participate in the Tick program have paid a royalty fee to use the Tick. So look for the Heart Foundation's tick on the food you buy or visit the Australian Government's website www.go4twoandfive for some easy guidelines on how to incorporate healthy eating into your lifestyle.
This program is funded by the Australian Government Department of Health and Ageing.
G'day folks, John Williamson here and this is Southern FM 88.3. Folks, get behind your community and your own radio station.
Yes, it is Southern FM 88.3. It's nearly 2 o'clock already. Time just goes far too quickly when you're having fun.
Of course, Andrew, what's coming up at 2?
2 o'clock, we've got the big game.
Big game between Murrumbeena and Black Rock. And Black Rock.
And you have taken Murrumbeena to that lofty state that they currently are.
No doubt. But that should be a ripping game. Division 2 contest and two of the better teams running around.
And we're at Black Rock on the ladder.
Black Rock there, well up there. Murrumbeena, yep. I think, sitting first or second, and Black Rock in the four.
I used to live in Beaumaris, and my dad now lives in Black Rock, so I think that's probably got something to do with the fact they're having a lot of success at the moment.
Yeah, you're still claiming St Kilda 17-0 record.
Yes, I am. Well, mate, I will claim whatever I can, and no one can argue with me because I'm not going to listen to them anyway. I'm good at ignoring people. But, listen, we're just with Stephen White, and I've got... We talked about sponsorship, and look, we've got some. There's some fantastic sponsors of Southern FM, isn't there?
There's some belters.
So Morello.
Morello panels. They've been with the station for a number of years now, and they are the best in the business.
And also Shannon's Car Insurance.
Yep, and another one who's been with us for a long time, and again, best in their business, in their chosen field. They've strived, and they've. Reach the pinnacle.
And I'm sure they would love
They'd
to,
love
make,
to get on
maybe
Stephen White,
have a chat with Stephen as to how maybe they could work together. And I've got Stephen's business card with me. He's website is www.stephenwhiteracing. Now that's Stephen with a PH, stephenwhiteracing.com. So get on there and have a look. It's got a great site. I was playing around with it this morning and looking at him doing some of his ads that he did on TV for a, what was the hair loss product, mate?
You had to bring that one up.
Yeah, I did. Well, I've only got a couple of minutes to go, mate, so I thought.
I was actually doing some ambulance training over the last couple of days, and one of the guys said, I've seen your face somewhere before, and it wasn't motorsport. And I said, yes, I have done a few TV commercials over the time. He goes, yeah, maybe it was there. And which one was it again? And
you didn't say, yeah, it was that one.
It was, yeah, all right. And founder of Ultratune, Sean Buckley, create a company called Ultra Hair, which was for people with thinning hair. And at the time, while I was driving his V8 supercar, I was, I guess, the perfect protege for that, with me in the process of choosing to change my hairstyle. And so when this company was started, I was, I guess, one of the first people to experience what it was like to have laser hair and promote the product. And part of that, I was fortunate enough to do some TV commercials for Channel 9, which was quite an experience, and it was great fun. And it's still people, I guess, this was probably 3-4 years ago that it was actually on TV, and people still talk about it.
He's had an interesting week, Sean. He might have a spare car.
Absolutely. There you go, mate. Anyway, listen, we're running out of time, so I've got some responses here. So, Stephen, you've got to tell me which one. We've got, this is for the people that have SMS'd in their the things they've achieved. The first one, I found the man of my dreams and married him. Had to kiss many frogs to find him.
That's
one. The second one is, went for a job and got it, visualised how I would feel, wrote down, designed a pretend business card. That's pretty good. Looking for a home, I imagined myself living in a house I wanted and believed I would find it, and found it. Get a clear vision, believe in it, and don't stop.
Gold, love that.
So, Stephen, which one out of those three do you think?
Four. It's they're all great, aren't they? And it's tough to be the decision maker sometimes. But
one, two, or three, mate.
As a frog, Steve.
Was it the marry the man of my dreams, visualize a job, or find the home?
Let's say visualize a job.
Okay, good job, mate. Thank you, and we'll send that person, well done, a free copy of my book. Now we're just finishing up right now. I want to thank Stephen White for coming into the studio, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure having you. Thank you very much for sharing your wisdom. Mark, as always, a pleasure. And I have to, before I finish, my law will kill me, I've got to say hi to Coco, who is Kathy and Justin's new dog, who they picked up yesterday. Hi, Justin,
Coco.
And Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Yeah, and this is for Coco. And that's the High Performance Show.